Sometimes His grace is just enough, and we wish we didn't have to trust Him. We wish that it were obvious to sight that everything's going to be fine. It doesn't look fine sometimes, and that's why we need faith. We wish it were easier than that, but even when it looks hard, it is absolutely secure in God's hands. And what a blessing that is. Let's pray, and then we'll consider some things from the Scriptures. Lord, would you help us? Would you speak to us? Would you challenge us? Help us to look at things your way, to be joyful in your presence, not to demand that the circumstances meet our standards or our wishes, but that we only are in your hand and we're walking with you and you are in control. Help us to be secure in that alone, to be at rest when that is the case. And Lord, what a precious thing it is to rest in you, especially when the storm is raging, especially when it doesn't look like you are in control, but we know the Scriptures tell us that you are, and we can trust in you. Help us to trust in you, and help us to praise you so that others can know what you've done in our lives. I pray that you would help us to be people of praise, people of worship, for a testimony that the lost world can see. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Psalm 40, if you would please, and we will briefly consider the beginning of this psalm. It's a familiar psalm. It's a precious passage to me, and no doubt to you as well. Such a clear and vivid picture of what God does for us. And I was blessed in considering some particular words and phrases in this passage. We'll read the first three verses. Psalm 40, verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And as I was considering some different things here, and of course this is only part of the psalm. There's more that we could go on and read, but this particular statement and testimony of God's deliverance, we will consider a couple of different things. And I see here in verses 2 and 3, we see God's glory, the things that God does, greatness and power that comprise his glory, and that we do see his greatness in verse 2. This is what God can do. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Sin will do this. And sometimes it might be someone else's sin. I think about David, and of course he wrote this psalm, and he experienced a figurative pit in some ways when it comes to others' sin. I think about Saul's sin, and David was running from his son Absalom, and he was the victim. He was the wronged person in some of these things, and he wasn't sinless himself. We know this, but sometimes this pit, this figurative pit, can be of our own making. Sometimes it can be a predicament of someone else's making. It is a place of isolation, and that's what sin will do. It isolates us. It puts us in a position, you know, we talk about digging yourself in a hole, and you created this problem, and now you've got to get out of the pit, and it's kind of getting back to baseline, reversing the damage that's been done. And God wants to bring us out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. The miry clay is defeating and frustrating. And you imagine miry clay, and maybe you've gotten your vehicle stuck in clay like that and mud like that. We have a mud story from many years ago back at our house when the driveway was, the gravel was still being laid down, and it was still turning into a stable place to drive, and up at the top of the hill, and it was miry clay and mud, and it's easy to get stuck. It's easy to fall and to slip and to get to get muddy in that kind of terrain, and God will bring us out of that, and we could make a lot of applications on how our sin and our own choices, our own wisdom, can put us in the miry clay and in the horrible pit, but God can bring us out. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. The song, I think, He brought me out. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. And that's the chorus of a hymn, and such a wonderful testament to God's greatness. It brings Him glory. It says, He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That rock is a great change from the miry clay. It's a blessing to have rock to stand on. And I think about concrete, and that's a kind of rock in a sense. It's hard like rock, and it's stable, it's sure, it's reliable. And in comparison to miry clay, being set up on the rock is a night and day change. The rock is comforting. And it says, established my goings. He directs us in the way we should go, and he sets us not only on a stable footing, but then He establishes and orders our progress. This is what God will do for us. It's encouraging to us to not only be on stable ground, but also to have a direction to go. And when you come out of the pit, and I think of Joseph in the pit, what future is there in the pit? What progress can there be found in miry clay? It seems like we can't go anywhere. There's no future. There's no hope. We're isolated. And I'm amazed at how often our faithless thinking isolates us. Have you ever felt that way, where you come to church and you're among God's people and you know you're in the body of Christ here, and you still feel isolated in your maybe faithless thinking, maybe you're discouraged thinking, maybe you're giving into temptation and you've been isolated by your sin. The pit can be very isolating, but God brings us out. His greatness is here in verse 2, and it's because of His nature, but it's also God's glory because others notice it. In verse 3, it says, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. When God does a great work for you, how can you keep silent? How can you keep that to yourself? You know, the pit I was in, it was impossible to get out. I was in the miry clay. There was no way I was digging myself out of this. Let me tell you what God did for me. Testify of God's grace in your life. It is powerful. That's why we have the salvation testimonies in printed form on the wall. And if you don't have yours done yet, you should. It's a powerful testimony to tell others what God has done for you, how He brought you out of the clay and took you from defeat to victory and progress. He hath put a new song in my mouth. You didn't have to come up with it and contrive it. You didn't have to make something up and wax eloquent. You just had to tell people what God did for you. Praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. When they see what God does for you, they're going to want some of that for their own life, because they're in a pit as well. They are in the miry clay. This is what we find ourselves in. I think of Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. It says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? Say that they're redeemed. Let me tell you, God redeemed me. God redeemed me out of the hand of the enemy. He delivered me. He brought me out. He set me on a rock. Testify. Tell others about it. Find ways to boldly talk to the lost. Just naturally. God did. Can I tell you what God did for me today? You don't have to preach to them about the gospel, although if the opportunity is there, that's wonderful. But you can just testify of God's goodness to you. Do others see God's grace in your life? Do they see Him changing your life? Let's not let the world make us be silent about what God has done. Let's testify of God's glory. Let's sing that song so that many can see it in fear and trust in him. We see God's goodness, or excuse me, God's glory in verses 2 and 3. And then sandwiched around that, I see our good. Of course, it's our good, to our good, that God brings us out of the pit. And we have to make right choices in order for him to see that. In verse 4, we haven't read this yet, but Psalm 40, verse 4, it says, "Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." Very conscious choices, very intentional choices here. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. And then we see rejecting something here. Respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. He's making a very conscious choice here to trust the Lord, and it brings him a reward. It brings him good. It brings him blessedness. How happy is the man that maketh the Lord his trust? If we're going to see God work in our life and bring us out of the miry clay and give us a new song, we have to trust him. We have to put him first. We have to rely on him to accomplish it. It seems obvious, and we would say, yes, yes, I knew that already. But it is so easy to reach for other solutions and other ways of coping. Sometimes we have the means to handle the situation. It may not be the perfect solution. It may not be, as good as what we would hope for. But, you know, I can respond to this issue. I can try to fix this on my own. I can go talk to that person. I can go, you know, pay for that thing. I can try to fix this and find my own solution. Or we can trust in the Lord. And there is a great reward for that. It's for our own good, but we must choose to trust in him. It's so easy to reach for other solutions. We must determine to put our trust in him. The proud, it says, that respecteth not the proud. The proud seem so powerful, don't they? Seems like they have solutions. At times I've envied people like that. I've thought, boy, they just seem so confident. They seem like they just always know what to do. They seem like they don't even have to think about it. The path ahead is so clear and obvious to them. I wish I had more of that. I wish I was smarter like they are. I wish I was less afraid or whatever it is. And they just seem so bold. But if they're in pride, there's nothing desirable about that. There's nothing enviable about that. We need to reject the path of the proud. We shouldn't go to the world for answers. The proud seem powerful. It seems like they have the solutions, but the world doesn't have any solutions. The proud are resisted by God. The proud do not worship God. And so we shouldn't go to them. We should not respect their solutions and their efforts. And says, nor such as turn aside to lies. There's blessedness if we will refuse to turn aside to lies. Lies can seem alluring and innovative. Now, this is a really good solution. I don't exactly find it in Scripture, but it really seems to work. I mean, look at the results here. I think there might be something to this. No, there's something to the tried and true. There's something to God's word, and we should follow that. We need to reject the lies. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. It's a conscious choice. And so there is great good in it for us, but we have to make the Lord our trust. And how do we do that? How do we prove that we're trusting God? How do we prove that we're relying only on God? Well, it's found in verse 1, Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I'm trusting God. Well, do you wait patiently for God? Do you cry out to him? Or do you pray about it once and then go find your own solution? Well, I trusted God, and you know, he didn't, so he didn't come through or didn't do it for me, so I had to find another way. Sometimes we feel there's a time crunch, and there's a deadline, and we're praying, and Lord, you got to do something, but he didn't do anything, so I guess I have to act now, and I had to come in. I don't know why God didn't answer my prayer, but you know, I did trust the Lord. Well, God cares about the events of our life, and we should wait patiently for him. He might show us you need to take these steps. And then we're following his plan. We're obeying him. It's not our solution, it's his. But we need to wait patiently for the Lord. Your trust in God's power will be proven in you crying out to him and waiting on him. The person who is in the pit will not cry out to God if he's not trusting the Lord. He won't wait patiently for God if he doesn't trust in God's goodness. I found it interesting. The Hebrew here from which we get the phrase waited patiently. The psalmist says, I waited patiently. And it's waited and patiently. It's the same Hebrew word for wait twice. And I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but it's the same word back to back. It means essentially in waiting, I waited. I waited patiently. I wasn't just letting time pass. I was quiet. I was self-controlled. I was patiently waiting for time. Sometimes we wait on God and we're fretting and we're wringing our hands and we're you know, resentful and why does God hate me, seem to dislike me and just let me suffer, and I'm waiting on him, but I'm not patient about it. To wait patiently shows that we trust in God's goodness. This is very different from, you know, if God doesn't come through, I'll have to go with a backup plan. We wait on God. We wait patiently. God does have a plan, and it's the best plan, and that's the plan I want, so I'm going to wait joyfully and patiently. I'm just going to wait until he acts, because he does it best. Again, God may lead you, okay, I want you to take this step, and now I'm doing something, but it's not my plan, it's God's plan. We ought to obey him. We're waiting on his plan. It doesn't mean that he'll just, you know, snap his fingers and do miracles before our very eyes, you know, creating something out of nothing. He might bring it through another saint of his. He might bring it through your stepping out by faith and providing that way. But it's his plan, and you don't move and you don't act until he leads you to act. You wait patiently. We all want to be brought up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay, but it comes to those who cry unto God and wait patiently. And if you do, he inclines unto you. He hears you, and he does great things. His power is at work in your life. When you trust God and wait on God, you will have what verse 3 talks about. He hath put a new song in my mouth. And I was thinking about that new song, and I was just meditating on a new song. It's good to praise the Lord, and I was noticing that the word praise is used in a couple of different ways, more than two, but two ways in particular I noticed. One is one kind of praise is praising God for what he is, just lifting up his character, and that's what we can do any day, any time of the day or night. Praising God for who he is. He's powerful, he's omniscient, he's good, all these things. And then there's praising what he has done for us. And David says, I'm going to sing a new song. We ought to sing the old song of praise for our salvation. And I've been saved now. I just celebrated my 32nd spiritual birthday. And that's an old song in that sense. It is still fresh to me, and it ought to be fresh to you, your salvation. But it's old in that it happened once and it was many years ago. But what new song do you have? What has God done for you recently? Because if all you have are old songs, yeah, I'm so thankful God did this for me 10 years ago and 25 years ago and 5 years. But I don't, what has he done for me lately? I don't know. I guess he paid my bills, or I guess he's kept me healthy. We ought to have a new song. And how do we have that? By continuing to cry out to God and trust in the Lord and follow him step by step, because sin in our own lives is always an ongoing struggle. Other people make choices. It brings us into difficult situations. And if you trust and wait on God, you will regularly have new songs to sing to him and sing about him. He will always be doing something new in your life. And your Christian life should be a constant process of new things, new growth, saying, I never saw it this way before. I look back, you know, in the past a year, 2 years, I don't even think I'm the same person anymore. I mean, these are the same truths, but I see them in such a fresh way. And I had to trust God in this thing, in this new experience. And God did something great for me and in me. It's a blessing to see God do great things and to have a new song. But if we're going to see that, we must trust God and cry out to Him and wait patiently for Him. And if we'll live this way, many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And what a blessing that is, to see God not only work in us and bring us out of that pit, but then use that act to cause others to trust in Him. And all the glory belongs to Him. And so we're going to take some time tonight to sing a new song, and that's what I want to encourage you. I'm not going to we're not prohibiting any old songs, so to speak, but I want to hear what God has done recently in your life. And we've had a couple of camps now that have gone on in July, and we've heard a lot of good preaching, and I want to hear, and others I'm sure want to hear, what God has done for you recently. And let's pray, and then we'll have a time of testimony. Lord, thank You that we can have a new song. We can always see You do something new in our lives.